Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, kings and queens. Welcome to YBE Radio this evening. I am having some difficulties with our music, so I do apologize for that. See, we should have Shalice on the line. Shalice, are you here with me, my amazing co-host?
Daddy, what's up, black people?
Awesome, awesome. It's great to have everyone here tonight. We have such an exciting show this evening. Shalice and I
are lighting up, y'all.
Right, already. Shalice and I have been amped all day. I mean, between text messages, Facebook chat, Facebook on the wall, Instagram, it's been blowing up all day. The excitement for this show is going through the roof. We're excited. So, you know, we just hope you guys sit back and enjoy. Before we get our guests in, I do want to, we're just going to go over a couple of hot topics. I would definitely want to send our solidarity out to the protesters in Chicago. We always can always want to remember Laquan McDonald, shot by Officer Emmanuel. They're out there protesting right now. We want to make sure that their voices are heard. We're with them. We're praying for you. All of our allies, everyone, we appreciate y'all. We thank you all so much for doing what everyone else can't do and being there when everyone else cannot. They may want to be there.
Not only that, but yes, Laquan was killed, but let's not forget about the family of Ronald Johnson, a.k.a. Ronnie Man. He was another black man brutally murdered by the police. However, his killer, the district attorney, she chose not to indict him. Of course, we need to get Anita's ass out of there for real. Like, I don't even understand how the fuck she still has a job, but that's another conversation. I also want to send peace and blessings to the family of Tyrone West. As you know, they have to protest his death as well. So there's people out here who are doing the work, and we just want to send our well wishes to them, hoping that they are safe and that they continue to fight that good fight.
Yeah, definitely. So I know it's just a lot going on. Everyone's hearing about Trump. Everyone has opinions about Trump. Whether you want to talk about it or not, whether you want to acknowledge him or not, he is in the contending to be our Republican candidate. And I just want to express my thoughts. If you follow me on Facebook or you're my friend, you've already seen me say this, but as a black woman, a Muslim woman, a gay woman, it's problematic on so many accords. This man is trying to put up walls. He's trying to ban people from coming here. Like, there are not American Muslims that have never seen this area. It's probably a lot of American people outside of Muslims that don't even know where Syria is, and these fools watch the news every damn day. So I just want to, you know, just express my dissatisfaction, and I need you guys to be awake. Whether you want to hear this bullshit or not, this rhetoric is going around. You need to hear this propaganda. You need to see what's going on and listen, because you can go and sleep if you want to, but when shit gets to changing and we possibly have Hitler 0.2 running America, y'all going to wake up real quick. So, you know, that's my thoughts on that. Shalice, I know you got some more to say on that.
I mean, I'm going to hold my thoughts until we get Rez and KLX on the line, because I specifically wanted to ask Rez about a post that he posted earlier about the media and propaganda. So I'm going to table my thoughts, and we just about to get into it. I'm actually very excited to have these two brothers on the line. I personally am the one who wanted to have them on the show. I remember the first time that I met them, it was at a Fix Baltimore cleanup. And first, I thought that they were from Baltimore. Then I saw Rez post something about them being in Detroit for the New Era Detroit protest that shut down the gas station, where a gas station pointed a gun at some young black children, and they shut that fucking gas station down. So I was like, okay, maybe they road tripped. free. So I'm like, okay, so these are just like nomads just roaming the land, spreading black power. And I felt that so deeply. And not only that, but they also have this great apparel line called What's Up Africa, and you've seen us rocking our shirts. So definitely we're going to put that out there on the YBE page. You need to support them. We got to support black businesses. And that shit is fly. So without further ado, I'm about to bring them on the line. Peace.
All right,
to
y'all.
That.
Let's black the vape.
Hey, black power. What's up, Africans?
What's up, brothers? How y'all doing?
Hey,
I'm still... what's up, African? It's KLX on the line. What's good? Black power.
Yeah, man. We feeling great, man. We feeling great. We, you know, getting into a lot of great black activity lately. And it's great to be black with our people, you know, and out here in the streets, being able to build and connect as we always do, man. And that's pretty much how we ran into you, like you were alluding to before you brought us on. And, you know, that's the whole purpose of the What's Up African outreach that we do, is to connect people, you know, to opportunities for them to improve the conditions that they're experiencing in the places that they live in. So it doesn't matter where we're from, you know what I mean? It's like we just showing up because there's black people there, you know, and that's the way we're establishing a, you know, that Pan-African mindset that people talk about, you know what I mean? It's like the civil rights movement, looking back at that, you know, that's people were traveling around connecting, you know what I mean? They weren't just, they didn't have no Facebook. They didn't have no Instagram. They had no Twitter that they could just sit home and type away on and share some memes and shit and, you know, feel like they did something for the day. It took action. So, you know, we can do all this talking and everything like that. And, you know, we post a lot of videos and things of that nature, you know, but that's just to give you some insight into a little piece. That's just the front line, the first layer of what needs to be done. So like you were talking about the things that ended up on the news, us being in D.C., us being in Detroit, us being in Baltimore, those are the types of things that, you know, speak for themselves. So, you know, we're just thankful for the opportunity to be able to be on your platform tonight. We graciously accepted the offer when you came to us. It's very humbling, you know. So we're thankful to be here, and I'm sure KLX has something to add to that as well.
Yeah, nah, what's up, family? What's up, Africans? So it's KLX.
What's up?
King Leon X, unapologetic black voice of America.
Yeah.
I just want to show my gratitude for YBE Radio for having us on, making that platform available for us to self-express and get our particular aims and missions out, you know, since we all understand that everything that we all do, what y'all do, what we do, what everybody that we linked up with, everyone's acting in the interest of black liberation. That's what makes us blacktivists, and, you know, we're headed to the black utopia. So I feel like all media outlets are necessary, especially, you know, black-owned ones like this that we're using right now. So I'm just super excited to figure out what we're going to talk about.
Okay, well, the first thing that I want to start with is for people who don't know who you are, I want to start with KLX. Tell us about you, you know, just where you come from and how you and Riz actually linked up.
Oh, wow, that's a fully loaded question to start it off. So, again, so I'm KLX, King Leon X. I was born in Anaheim, California in 89. My pop's in the Navy. So I was fortunate enough to experience pretty much every region of the world before I even graduated high school. And then since high school, well, I went to college in Atlanta. I went to Morehouse College in Atlanta. I studied sociology, psychology, and a minor in philosophy. And then I started working corporate with AT&T. Moved to Michigan. Moved a lot of places. Like, I'm 26 right now. I've been to, like, 40 or like 38 states and 7 countries. So like my whole experience is a collection of like what I've seen and done. But so my background comes, like I said, I was working corporate. I was doing like corporate sales. You know, I was just a traditional, like growing up, I was just the regular black dude, you know what I mean, that just, you know, does what you see on TV, right? So, like, I was, you know, firsthand affected by the mass media propaganda attack against, you know, the black man and them determining, you know, our purpose and stuff like that. Some things happened. I changed my ways, obviously, started being on the up and up. Years later, you feel me? I meet Reds. Like, I don't know. I was just skimming past a whole lot of stuff. I don't know what you guys really want to know. Like, but I put the black woman, black child, black family first because I'm a black man. You know, that's what I feel like my divine responsibility. I have 4 little sisters and 2 little brothers. I don't have any children. And, yeah, like, Reds always tells the story how we met, you know. I always love hearing him tell the story about how we met, but what I'm going to say is I was just in Philly because I decided to move to Philly because I never lived in Philly before. So I was just like, boom, I moved to Philly, and I was black debating out there, you know, doing what I do because I had my own individual movement and an international following way before I even met Red. So one of the things that linked us up is that we were both working at that same time. So he seen me working. I was in his city. He invited me to his house. I came and, you know, 3 months later, we became business partners. You know, 3 months later, we're here today, right? So a lot of people think that me and Red's known each other for, like, years or we grew up together, but I met him in April, and we became business partners in July.
Y'all met in April?
Yeah, we met in April.
That's amazing. I saw that.
That's a bond for real because I could have sworn that y'all had known each other for, like, years.
Yeah. Yeah, we get that a lot. But that's, you know, that's what happens when 2 supreme beings meet, right? So I met Reds. He told me his vision with What's Up African. It was still newer, and it was just strictly apparel at that time. And I had already had my own company. And, my whole aim is, like, personal achievement because I know the transitions that I made from, like, being basically like a dope boy to now revolutionary, like from a poverty state of mind to black power. You know what I mean? I know the transition that I made in the and I documented each step of that transition so I can inspire other black males to do the same. So my whole, like, aim is, like, personal achievement. And so when I heard about What's Up African and I had a couple of meetings with Rez, we figured that we could combine our influence and our mission and give the world something they've never seen before. So, Rez?
That's dope.
That's super dumb, man.
What up?
What's up, African?
Yeah, what's up? What's up, African? Yeah, so, I mean, that is, just listening to this story, it just gives me the chills, man, because it's like, it's so real. You know what I mean? One of the things that I started off saying, you know, and I was convincing myself, it's like, yo, What's Up, African? The movement is real. That was my line from the beginning. You know, and as I was convincing other people, I was convincing myself, man. And just to see this whole thing manifest to the point that it has is blowing me away, you know, with every passing moment, it seems. But the story of how me and King Leon X, how we met, as he said, you know, we was working. I guess do y'all want me to go back and give y'all a little backstory on me? Or y'all just want to hear that story?
Yeah, right. Who are you?
Of course,
are
my
you,
brother.
Man. All right.
You got all
the ladies crooning online.
Come
we got to know who you
Red,
are, my
like,
brother.
Come on, bro. All
right, so.
Give it to all right, him,
so,
man.
I mean, all right, so my name is Ron Green, Ronald T. Green. You know, that's what my mama named me. You know, I was born in 1983, in July of 1983 on the 13th, which makes me a Cancer. A lot of people be surprised when I tell them, you know, that I'm 32 years old. You know, because of the youthful energy and approach that I bring to, you know, to everything that I do. The interactions that I have are very organic, and that's the type of person that I've always been. It's just somebody who who's a networker and a connector, you know, somebody who's always been, you know, good working with other people, you know, to see to it that a task is carried out. And, you know, I bring that same approach to What's Up African. My background, I went to Morgan State University down there in Baltimore. I study communications with a focus on broadcast journalism. I wanted to be on the news, y'all. I wanted to be a newscaster. I thought I was going to be a news anchor, you know. I was clean cut and everything, you know. I figured I was just made for the tizu, you know what I mean? And that's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be on like your evening news at your local television station, or maybe, you know, like a syndicated one, whatever. Like, I had big dreams of that. I always been, you know, artistically inclined, like drawing and painting and even just creative writing, and a mastery of the English language is something that, you know, I gained at an early age, and that's something that was nurtured by my parents. You know, I was I'm fortunate enough to have both of my parents. I grew up with both of my parents in the same household. They've been married for just as long as I've been alive. I have two younger sisters, you know, and we've just always had in our household a mindset and approach that, you know, we need to be the best at what we do and put our best foot forward when we present that. And, you know, that's what I bring to the table. As Leon has talked about, self-mastery is something that up until the point after me and him became officially partners was not really something that I had a huge focus on. It's like there were certain components in my life that I knew I was good at, and things that I figured I might be able to make some money with one day or something like that. I had a background in all these artistic things and ways to express myself, but I didn't have a way to put it together until I got involved with fashion. And I have a background in fashion where I work with a fashion and a talent company. I used to do photography for them. I've done like hundreds of photo shoots, like high fashion photo shoots and things like that. I've done some modeling and things as well. You know, so just bringing all these experiences together along with some business ventures that I was involved with, because my mom always was just poking and prying, trying to find a way, like, how can we, you know, like, rise above and bring people with us. So I was always involved in different business ventures growing up in my early adult years. So, like I said, just bringing all those things together was what I was struggling with. And it wasn't until a couple of years ago when I got involved with a clothing line that I still currently work with called Risk Takers International Apparel, is where I start to put all those things together, bringing the business aspect with the artistic inclination and being able to express that and deliver that to people in a way that's palatable for them. So, you know, I was honing my skills all last year with that, with presentation and everything. And then, you know, I came into knowledge of self, and things started to really happen. All within that started last year. Like, I would say September of last year is when I sort of broke away from the conventional ways of thinking. I had my own spiritual awakening and everything like that. I began to understand and view things differently. And, like, from that, my approach to life, you know, was altered forever. So it's now I'm in a constant state of growth instead of being stagnant. And with that being said, I was able to bring all these things together, and when I was presented with the prospect of What's Up African, this is a story that people don't know, where What's Up African came from. What's Up African, like I said, I was doing my own thing with my partner, shout out to Rafiq Jackson, my partner here in Philly, my Risk Takers affiliate. We were doing our thing with Risk Takers, and the Super Bowl came around, the Super Bowl and the Seahawks were playing. Marshawn Lynch, he was doing his whole media defiance act and everything like that, not speaking to the media, you know. you know how he was doing, and he was standing up. You got a lot of black people who weren't even in the sports. They was following his story, you know what I mean? Like, and I had, you know, I didn't really care about football and all stuff like that. I was like, focused on black liberation and things of that nature. You know what I mean? Not saying that you can't be about that, but you get what I'm saying.
I
didn't worry about it. Yeah, so when I caught wind of what was going on, I had saw this clip from the interview that he had done, and the media was asking him questions, and he wasn't responding. And during his time where he wasn't responding, a black man walked into the place where he was being interviewed, the space where he was being interviewed, off camera. And he said, he turned to that black man and said, "What's up, African?" And he turned back to the mic and said, "Shout out to all my real Africans out there." That was
That's
it.
What's up.
Like, so it's just like a little five second clip, like a 5 second moment in time, like which a whole movement was birthed from, because it was an act of defiance that it was like it was born from. It's like he was already bucking the system. It's like, look, like y'all are paying me millions of dollars to be out here, and it's like I'm giving y'all exactly what I have to give y'all, which is nothing. You know what I mean? And it's like the whole scene, you know, was just ripe for that type of energy, and that's what really pushed What's Up African out there. So from there, I'm on Facebook, and people are on there just saying, "What's up, African?" I'm seeing all these statuses on my timeline. "What's up, African? What's up, African? What's up, African?" People just loving it. People loving it. They sharing the little 15-second clip from the interview and everything of him saying it. You know, people are hashtagging it like crazy. It's trending the whole nine. So I go on my man Javon Clark. Shout out to my man Javon Clark down there in Durham, North Carolina. He's one of my mentors. But I'm on his page, and he shared the video. And people were on that post just going crazy. Yeah, hundreds of comments under there. All these people people were loving it. It was beautiful. Everybody just calling each other Africans. It was fucking awesome. So I hop on the post and I say, "Yo, what's up, African? Shout out to my real Africans out there, man. You know, just joining the fun with everybody else." And then I see this comment under mine where they like, "Yo, somebody needs to make a T-shirt out of this. Like, I would buy that right now if I saw it." And I'm like, "Holy shit!
That's the universe."
I'm like, "Holy shit! I make T-shirts." Like, I make T-shirts at my crib. I make T-shirts in my underwear. Like, I go downstairs in the morning and turn my press on and just create some shit. Like, are you kidding me? Like, right now, dumb. You're giving... I'm like,
way,
okay.
Way to, give the, way, to, way to give the queens a righteous visual, Red.
Oh, hey, look, man, I'm just operating in the space I've been given, man. You know? And I went downstairs. I put my phone down, so I'll be right back. I put my phone down. I ain't touch it. I went to my laptop. I already had the design in my head. Just laid it out there. Boom. Like, it just came to me. And I shared it on that same post, and people just went nuts. I'm getting inboxes like crazy, all these friend requests, people I have no clue who they are, but I'm accepting all of them because of this shirt. So that's how this whole movement began. It was just from... just like a 5 second, like just that moment in time of defiance against the entire system is where What's Up African was born from. So everything that we have, this movement of blacktivism and things like that, born from an act of defiance at the core. Like everything, the seed of What's Up African is defiance. So I mean, this is what it's built on, and that's the story of What's Up African. Now, moving forward into how I met Leon is just because, like he said, we was working. I'm building my movement and everything like that. I'm building and connecting with people, and they're latching on to the things that we're presenting. And I was working by myself. And then I had the help of my family when things really started to pick up. But when X came around, like, all right, so this is how I saw Leon. I saw X first time on my timeline. Somebody had shared one of his videos. I ain't know who this brother was. I'm scrolling. I see this dude. He got a ski mask on, and he's like in a car. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, who is this? So I press play, and he's in there, and like he pulled a ski mask up, and you know
he's talking about like, yeah, man, I just found some like I just found this book with my old rhymes in it, whatever. I got some beats. I'm about to just give you all these bars real quick. And it's like, yeah, I ain't spit these shits in years, but blah, 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 here it go. And he just start going in. I'm like, oh shit, this nigga got bars. Okay, damn. Like, I was rocking with him. You know what I mean? Even though it was some kind of like, you know, like street and hood shit, you know what I'm saying? It's like, hey, look, that's what I grew up on. So I was rocking with it. So, you know, after that, I was intrigued. So now I'm scrolling again. Somebody shared another one of his videos. And this time he's in a suit. He's in a suit. He's in a suit, like, on the side of the road somewhere with a ski mask on. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't even know where the heck he was. Like, somewhere in Philly, like, on some back roads and stuff with, like, gasoline silos and tanks and stuff behind him and all this stuff, like a service road somewhere or something. And I'm looking like, what the fuck? And he's out there just talking about, yeah, man, you know, we out here, like arguing over bullshit, you know what I mean? I got a 500-year plan for our people. Like, I got a 7-year plan to sweat, and I got this and that. And it's like, y'all up here talking about, like all this nonsense. And, yo, he just was going in. And I'm like, a 500-year plan? Like, what? Like, what? Like, that's where I was stuck at. Like, everything else is like, yes, I agree with that. But then what's up with this plan, though? You know what I mean? And then I see another video where this is the last video where I had to reach out to this brother. Because he was in this high-rise, like, I don't know if it's an office building, wherever he was at. And he's got his phone, his camera phone. He's like, look, I'm up here. I'm on like the 85th floor of this building. I'm in the boardroom. Like, all the seats and chairs is empty. He's like, yeah, I'm about to have this meeting with some very powerful people. Like, I'm talking about all the cell phones is gonna be left in a basket outside the room. You gotta take your batteries out your phone and the whole nine. You can't bring nothing in here except a pen and pad, and we gonna get to work. You know what I'm saying? If you try and link up and do these types of things, then get with me. I'm like, oh. He's like, he said, I'm in Philly. I was like, oh, he's in Philly? What? I'm like, oh, okay. That's it. That's it, man. I inboxed this nigga like, yo, hold up. I'm in Philly, man. Like, I came on the status. I'm in Philly. What's up? We need to link up. And from there, you know, the next night he came to my crib. He came to my house. He drove over here. And we built for like maybe like 4 hours that night. I forget what time he left my crib. But, you know, We was in here amongst the strange clouds, and we just was, you know, building, like, on a lot of different levels that, you know, I'm not able to build on with people on an everyday basis. You know what I mean? And it was refreshing, the kind of conversations we was having. And, you know, from there, our relationship just grew. He started to come around more. You know, I introduced him to, you know, to my family, like, that first night when he came in. And, you know, it was a really organic experience, you know, and I felt at ease about a lot of things, and, you know, but we just, everything kind of came about naturally. It wasn't like he came in and said, yo, I'm trying to be down with What's Up African. It was like, no, we was just getting to know each other, you know, as two powerful beings operating, you know, in the same area. And, it just made sense. When the time was right, it made sense. I saw him at the Roots picnic. You know, and he was down there mobbing with me the entire night. And from there, I think that's really where it was birthed, man. And here we are, man. He brought a lot of things to the table, and it was just like a no-brainer. But the like he said, the biggest thing is the self-mastery aspect that he brought to the movement, because this is what is going to help us hold ourselves as well as each other accountable as we experience the growth that we're going to be experiencing, you know, as we move forward. So this is where we are. And I'm like I said before, I'm very appreciative of this platform, just to be able to share just a piece of our experience with y'all. And, yes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead, Shalisa.
Oh, no, I was just going to tell them that we're happy to have them. Like, I was very excited that you guys agreed to come on the show, because I honestly didn't know that you have such a large following. And we actually going to take a couple of calls, because the phone lines are lit. But you have such a large following partnership. You know, and that's for real. Like, y'all have a lot of support out there.
Right. Yeah, that's amazing.
I think it's
a testament to the it's a testament to the work that we've put in, you know, up to this point, and really the product and presentation of that product. You know what I mean? It's like we have something tangible to offer people that is very needed. You know what I mean? Like, our people need to be able to speak and make statements that are like solely on their behalf. You know, and that's what we bring to the table, is just speaking directly to the needs and the functions of the Black community as a whole. So, yeah, like everything that we have is just it's a culmination of what we built up until this point. Like, people, like they say, if you build it, they will come. You know what I mean? A millionaire once told me that if you set yourself on fire, then people will come from around the world to watch you burn.
Around the world to watch you burn. Yeah, exactly.
So what we've done very effectively is we've just dumped the entire can of gasoline on ourselves, and you know, we lit the fuse a while ago, and you know, that's just where we are right now. And it's been an interesting ride up to this point. I will say that you know, just growing with the influence and everything has not been challenging. It's been fun. It's been fun, but it's just like, it's been an experience that is very unique. It's been very unique, man. So I appreciate everybody that you mentioned. You know, like the support system that has been created. Just because we base our whole approach in love. Everything that we do is out of love and honor for our people, like namely for the Black woman, the Black child, as my brother always says. You know, like, it's important to hammer that home in the minds of our kings, because these queens and these young princes and princesses on their way up, they must understand that we are the only line of defense for ourselves. So protecting a Black woman and child is something that we, you know, are very big on. And once again, that's something that allows us to endear ourselves to many people. So the following and the connection with the leadership in different areas that we've been able to attain is all based on our approach of love. And instead of being against something, we choose to be for something. Instead of choosing to be about hating white people, we just gonna love on our people. So speaking of white supremacy, it has no place, because we already know what's up. So we're working for our people. We already know what's up with that shit. So no need to rehash it. We need to work on ourselves and get ourselves up out of this shit. So it's all about love.
Yeah,
it's all about love with us.
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about self knowledge, self worth a little bit, but I know, like Shalice said, we got a lot of callers, so I'm gonna let Shalice kick it to some of the callers, and we'll bring them on and let them have some questions for you, because I know the four of us could probably talk for an hour and a half or more without any callers. So let's give them a chance to get in. So go ahead, Shalice, you can go ahead and kick it to the first caller.
Got you. Okay. So 504-617, you're on the line.
What's up, man?
Yo, what's up, African?
What's up, guys?
What's up, King?
Hey, this is Brian Cox out of the office.
Hey, you breaking up?
You breaking up?
Yeah, your phone breaking up a little bit.
I said, this is Brian Cox in New Orleans. I was telling my brother, up.
You down in New Orleans?
South Carolina from there.
Yeah. He out in New Orleans, man. Hey, bro, hang up and try and call back in, man. She might get you. We can't hear you.
Yeah, we'll
come
back to you.
Y'all
hear him?
Nah, bro.
We can't hear you, brother.
Yeah, we're going to put him back. And we're going to bring on 228-731.
What's up, African? What's up, African?
What up, man? Calling from New Orleans, born and raised. I'm in Mississippi right now, man. I'm just follow Ron Green on Facebook, man. I see a couple Facebook posts, bro. I like what your brother's doing, man. You know, straight black power, bro. I love the, you know, what y'all doing in the communities, man. It's just sad that we can't get, you know, New Orleans to Mississippi in that kind of groove. You know, Dr. Umar came down here in August. You know, we went and seen him and stuff like that, you know, just to get a better convo of what's really going on. Because a lot of brothers in New Orleans and Mississippi, you know, they stuck in that trap, you know.
Right.
I was looking at something today on Fusion, and they had New Orleans on there. 97% of all juveniles that get arrested in New Orleans from school are black.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Wow. You said
97%.
That is a literal trap.
97%, man. And, I mean, right. It's been going on for years because I was in juvenile correctional facility. You know, I'm a convicted felon, three-time loser. You know what I'm saying? I'm fighting a charge as we speak. You see what I'm saying?
Keep you, brother.
Like,
you ain't the only one, bro.
It's like soon
black
as
power,
we get
black
out,
power.
Soon as we get out of probation or parole and, you know, we stay clean, it's like another police pull us over and give us this charge, give us that charge. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And it's constant. Like every brother in King that I know that I went to high school with, they either dead or in jail or doing drugs on the street, drugging. I'm talking about every one of my high school partners and, you know what I'm saying, and my little ward, my little hood I come from out the West Bank of New Orleans. Everybody, bro. And it's crazy when I sit there and realize, like, damn, I've been looking on Facebook, all my partners, and half of them in jail, half of them dead, the other half on heroin, you know what I'm saying, the other half homeless, living under the bridge, you know what I'm saying, they don't have no jobs down there. You can't get no job. The only job you could get is working at McDonald's. You see what I'm saying?
So
we got the result in the selling drugs. You see what I'm saying? Because ain't no jobs out here. You know what I'm saying?
They're creating a situation. They're creating a situation for you where you feel like you're forced. You don't really have too many other options being presented to you. And that's the whole thing that we want to do. Is be able to, you know, bring those types of options and connections to those types of areas, man. So it's like, that's exactly what, you know, we look to speak to, like joining together with other organizations that may be in that area and then bringing that type of influence and attention to the issues that's going on down there, man. So, you know, if you connected with me on Facebook, you know, you could inbox your contact and all that stuff like that. And we could talk a little further.
Yeah, what's up, brother?
Yeah, man.
Yes, indeed. Because Dr. Umar said he was going to, you know, he was going to try and do a little school out here. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know where he at with all that.
Yeah, that's like the Freedom School for boys.
Yeah, right.
We got a lot of things we looking to do, man. So it takes, like, you know, consistent effort and consistent support. You know, from everybody. So, you know, I'm just saying that for everybody who's listening, you know, we just got to understand that collective and group economics is where our power lies. So all these things we talking about, a lot of things can be answered, you know, with a better understanding of money and how we need to be able to use that, you know what I mean, to answer our problems. I know that ain't all the problems going to be solved with that, but, you know, like if we can just get to them areas and answer a few, It'll free us up to be able to do a lot more in other areas. You know what I mean? We just need to tackle what we can. You know what I mean? Because we got a lot of things that go into psychology and everything. Just the minds of the people in that area where you at have been so deeply affected, you know, by constant conditioning. You know, and it's not a pretty sight when you look at it. But it's like this is something that needs to be addressed. So. If we can, you know, speak to a few of the problems that can be answered up front, then we can have more time to be able to, you know, to tackle those deeper rooted issues. I mean, because poverty.
King, not to show
yeah,
you
cool.
out, brother, but
no, it's cool.
Last year before Dr. Umar came, I did a back to school drive for my little hood that I'm from. You know, we gave out the kids school supplies and stuff like that, and then after we went seen Dr. Umar. Well, I gave out some pamphlets with Marcus Garvey and a couple memes that I found out. And, man, I'm sitting out there, and, you know, a whole bunch of guys I used to hustle with and slang dope and shit came over and was running it with me. And, man, these, you know, because I'm 34 years old. You see what I'm saying? And most of these cats were a little bit older than me, and then they had the younger generation, right? And I gave out pamphlets, and on the front of the pamphlet was the red, black, and green with Marcus Garvey, but they didn't have his name on it. And when I tell you 90, they might have had like 60 people out there, maybe 80, and nobody knew who Marcus Garvey was.
Right.
Nobody
So I want to speak to that. I want to speak to that just real quick, brother. This is KLX. Like, so a lot of these things that you express about what's going on in the region that you're in, one of the things that I chose to do, you know, is I choose to be in, like, every region so I could see the conditions and then so we could come up with solutions and systematic solutions that you'd be able to just plug into any area type of things. So it's like most of us who hear each other, who can hear my voice, you know, didn't know, you know, who Marcus Garvey was. I think I just found out who he was last year or something like that. I was ready to, I've seen the conditions of black people in America, and I was ready to, you know, because I heard Gandhi said, be the change you want to see, and I knew that America wasn't the answer. I was ready to make my own flag and, like, build our whole own new nation, you know what I mean? So it's like, we let the decisions that was made in the 50s, 60s, you know, and 70s, which allowed another group of people to teach us, you feel me? That's where we ultimately, that was our ultimate downfall, you know what I mean? So we're not going to know about Marcus Garvey. We're not going to know about Shaka Zulu or King Tutta. We're not going to know about Shaka Shakur and all these things unless our parents taught us or we learned in our own journey. Through going through enough struggle and enough conflict to then come into, you know, some type of enlightenment. But we're out in the trenches all the time, man, and I swear you could go and ask 1,000 people, bro, who Marcus Garvey is, and maybe one person will be able to tell you. So that's why we do what we do, and our black division is so important. So, man, I commend you. I commend you for even, you know, printing up those flyers and, you know, even being out there. Because most people just want to post, you know what I mean? Most people just want to post things on social media, and they don't want to be active, brother. So I really commend you, and I know exactly what you was going through out there when you were trying to put your people on game, and it seemed like they were completely lost.
Mm-hmm. And I think
go ahead, because it's your show, so you go ahead and do your thing.
Oh, no, it's all good. We love to hear y'all voices, but I just want to say that kind of piggybacks off what I was talking about and wanted to go into with knowledge of self. In the time we're in right now, we're so jaded because we don't know. We're ignorant because we were not taught. So unless you go to seek the knowledge yourself or went to an HBCU, which you still would probably have to seek yourself, this stuff is not given to you in your books. You're not taught anything about it. They don't tell you anything. The movies that you watch on television, the Egyptian kings and queens, they are white and a fair complexion, which is all not true. So I think it's time that we all have to be more knowledgeable of self, which is why I appreciate you all, What's Up African, Let It Be Civil Wrongs, Let It Be Us. Just everybody has to get the conversation going, and I really smile with pride every day that I log on and I see people talking about it. And, brother, I commend you so much. You in New Orleans dealing with your own shit, because that's the issue is a lot of people are so engulfed in their own shit. They don't give a fuck about their hood, the people around them, but all of that affects the other. It's all the same thing. So we have to want to better ourselves. It's going to take the one nigga on the block to be like, look, y'all, we can't do this shit no more. for this Christmas, we're going to hand out some turkeys, and on Thanksgiving, we're going to hand out some turkeys, and then the next day, y'all can do whatever the hell y'all want to do as long as, you know, in reason, but we have to help ourselves. And if we don't do that and don't know knowledge of self, we cannot further ourselves. Most of us know we came here on a boat. Don't nobody know what country in Africa, where east, west, north, south, like these are things we have to know so we can maintain ourselves and continue to be powerful. White people know where they came from. We got books that write that shit, and they got everybody reading. But we're forced to believe, quote, unquote, what they have given to us. So I know there's books out there. I just sent Shalise a picture. Thank God for my girlfriend. She's an African-American history major. She went to Dell State, and she got boxes of books. We got to disseminate this information. We got to share it. We got to talk about it. Shout out to you brothers for the book challenge as well, for picking up a passage and reading it. Same thing as with Shalise. Like, we got to show that it's cool to pick up a book and you can turn up at the same time. Like, you have to find balance, and we have to just be knowledgeable. So I definitely just wanted to say that and appreciate you guys and the brother on the line for understanding and helping to grow that.
I want to speak to something really quick. Now, we talked about us helping ourselves, and I brought this up earlier, the situation in Detroit at the gas station that was shut down by New Era Detroit and the neighborhood activists. Could y'all enlighten us a little bit more on that situation? Because I saw the videos, and I was like, hell yeah. I mean, you could just feel the power, and you could
right.
feel that the community
right.
is just
yeah.
like, you know, we are
it
not
going
to let you do this to our children. You know,
period.
Just the right. chanting and saying that we will shut this fucking business down. Like,
period.
You're here to serve us. So just
mm-hmm.
tell us how it felt to be right there, you know, at that moment.
Mm. Power. Power.
Yeah, all power. All power.
Yeah. I felt like I was like, when we were sitting in that first meeting that when we arrived in Detroit on that Thursday and we got to sit in on that meeting, I was like, yo, this is like the Black Panthers right here. This is crazy. Like, you know, the way they opened the meeting up, I shared the video from that, man. It's ridiculous. It just is all power. It's all, like, coursing through it, man, from the leadership all the way down, man. It's just ridiculous. But I know KLX had, you know, an opportunity to capture a lot of that for us. So, I mean, you give us your perspective, bro.
All right. So, yeah, that Detroit thing was major. You know, I lived there. I work corporate in Michigan. After I left Atlanta, when I went to Morehouse College in Atlanta and moved to Detroit, everyone was like, no, don't move to Detroit. You know, because most people just operate, you know, in fear. But anyway, that was my first time back in Detroit. Since then, it was a completely different side of Detroit than I ever seen. I travel around all across the country, you know what I mean, in the world, and I connect with organizations all pro-Black organizations, and I never experienced what I experienced, you know, in Detroit. As soon as we flew in, the girl who picked us up from the airport, shout out to Kay Black, she's a member of New Era Detroit, so we just happened to have fly in like a few hours before their meeting. So we went and ate some Black we ate at this Black vegan spot, Detroit Vegan Soul, which is mad good too. And then we went to this meeting, and I had no idea what to expect. It's just like, okay, Newer Era Detroit meeting. I've seen them like on the internet before, like, you know, they were like out in the trenches, but you know, that's what I do anyway, all day, every day. You know what I mean? So that doesn't, you know, I'm like, you know, I walk around, you know, United States with an RBG flag, like, by myself. I'm like, everyone always asks me, like, yo, are you coming from a protest? It's like, nah, my life is a protest. You know what I'm talking about? One man protest, one man army type of thing. So, like, not that much stuff gets me, like, all, like, juiced up and, like, going. But when we went to that meeting, though, and I seen hundreds of people show up, first off, you know what I mean? So to get people, like, you were just explaining, people doing their own shit. They got all these things going on. So they might say they about to call or whatever, but when shit hits the fan, like, they're not really fans. Like, they're not really active. They're not really there. So the first thing, you know, from a leadership standpoint, is that room was packed to the max. You know what I mean? It was, like, literally hundreds of people in there, first off, right? And
that in itself, I don't even care if there was anything constructive that, that got handled in that meeting. That in itself was, you know, it was a very, you know, I wanted to commend them brothers just for just having those people show up. So then not only did they show up, but then the content of their meeting.
Shut the fuck out.
Yeah, it was just all straight fire or whatever. So we're in their meeting, and then this lady come. So their meeting's cool. Like, me and Red and Peacekeeper, we all got a chance to introduce ourselves and, you know, what we were doing and stuff like that, and got a chance to speak, which was cool that they made that space available for us. And then this lady came in, which is the mother of one of the kids. The gun pulled out on them. And so she was telling her story, right? It was like she was, like, in their town hall meeting. So she was telling her story in front of them. On one thing about their meeting, too, was no white people in that joint at all. Like, they didn't even give the illusion that if it was possible that a Tekka was about to come up in that song. So that was dope too, because you know what I mean? There's no outside solutions for black problems. Black solution for black problems, period. You know what I'm talking about? So anyway, this lady tells her story about this, her son getting the gun pulled out on him, right? She tells us, she said she went to the news. They didn't do nothing. She went to the police. They didn't do nothing. So then now she was coming to New Era Detroit because she heard about them. You know what I mean? And so she said her little piece. And then the father of one of the other kids' son came up there, and he was talking about how his son is, like, having nightmares now because he already got shot in his neck or something like that. He was, like, 11. Now he's, like, pissing in the bed and all this type of stuff. Like, some real heart-wrenching stuff. And, you know, me and Rez, we on the edge of our seat, like, yo, like, this is crazy. So then New Era Detroit, Zeke and Ned, Zeke and Niggas Vu, that's the founder and, co-founder or whatever, president, vice president, they said, subscribe to this, you know, email number, because New Era Detroit, they got this mass text number. They said, subscribe to this, and we'll let you know by 10 a.m. what's the protocol or where we're going to meet at, because we're about to go shut this gas station down. Me and Red immediately looked at each other like, yo, we have to be there. Like, we came to Detroit for a completely different continent, but we had to be out there in the trenches. So we show up. Everyone's in all black. It was insane. It was crazy, for real. You know what I mean? It was insane.
We stepped out
As soon as we stepped out the car, everyone is in all black. It's just mobbing, you know what I mean? So if you're able to see, like, the videos from all these different angles and all these different people, we just literally – people, you know, had their flags and their signs. You know, the leaders of New Era Detroit was like, nah, no flags, no signs. We about to go get to work. So everybody put their flags and signs up, and we just they practiced their little marching for everyone who was their first time with them. And then boom, we hit the gas station and we closed down every single entrance that was there. So when we got there, the gas station was packed, and then it was like exit only. So we just let all the cars leave out of one entrance, and they all left. And then for like 4 hours, like, we're just right there. No money into that gas station. No cars came into that gas station except for police cars. And then the owner of that gas station. So the demand was, like, New Era Detroit, they wanted to see the video of the kid or the owner or the clerk pulling the gun out on the kid. And they wanted that dude to be fired and arrested. So that dude got fired and arrested, and they seen the video. So it's like, you know, that just shows the power of the people. Right,
power and solidarity.
That shit was so crazy too, because like it was crazy because we ended up being on the news for their black city. You know what I mean? We just showed up, but it just happened. It was just so powerful how they just captured that moment. And then that next day, they're at this theme conference, and then the next day they have this Black Power Business Bazaar that, we was able to sell our shirts in, And then, that prior week they came like 100 deep outside of a mega church, the biggest mega church in Detroit. And, like, they was really holding that church accountable. And now the preachers coming to the New Era Detroit like, okay, what do y'all want? Like, please don't show up outside my church like that.
Oh, shit.
Right? So not only that, but then New Era Detroit, they also just mobbed to Chicago over this past weekend. I don't know if you've seen that, but they had a trip that they've been planning, and they went to Chicago, and they was in the south side of Chicago on 64th. You feel me? That's where all the crazy stuff goes down on, in the Midwest in that region. And they, from Detroit to Chicago in solidarity, you know, in the streets, and then boom, you know, Monday morning, they were front page of Detroit Free Press. You know what I mean? So New Era Detroit is blacktivism, you know what I'm talking about? And I'm so glad that we were able to connect with them, link arms with them, charge for in the trenches, and also form that alliance where they're able to use some of the systems and strategies and processes that have been working for us, and we're able to use some of the same things that they're using in our own aim. So, yeah.
Yep.
That's dope. That's dope. Well, I'm going to take another caller. Let's see. 919-671. What's up, African? 919-671, you there?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
Let's come back to them. We can go to the next one.
919, that kind of sounds like North Carolina.
That's North Carolina. That's Durham.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sometimes people don't be knowing their own phone numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't be knowing.
Okay, let's see. I think 267-815.
Philly. Oh, yeah, that's Philly. What's up, African?
267-815. Are you there?
That's
pretty.
Yo,
what's
up?
What's up?
Hey,
what's up, African? Yeah, man, we got the third
black
member of the
power.
Triangle Offense.
Black power.
Yeah, man. Hey, man, what's up with you, Peacekeeper?
I'm just enjoying y'all over here talking about the blacktivism. Shouting out to, you know, the family in Detroit, New Era's most definitely. It's always good to big up the brothers and sisters over there that's live on the scene whenever needed. And just enjoying.
You were up there with us. What did you think about that?
Oh, man. You know, I was just, like, humbled to be a part of that whole situation. Anytime that we had the opportunity to blacktivate on behalf of our people, all about it. It was just, like, all power to the people. Whose streets? Our streets. Like,
our streets,
in action.
Yes.
It was real life. Like, we brought, like, we redefined the, like, that, those words. Like, it was a humbling experience, an empowering experience, but it also showed me that I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing.
Black power.
Black power.
Peace to you, too.
Peace. So what else you got for us, Peacekeepers?
Well, I want you guys to kind of just touch base on the other ways the What's Up African experience connects and builds with the people. Like, we had a Leaders or Readers Challenge going on.
Yeah.
And on the other aspects of the brand, music, the education, the art. Let them know.
Okay. No doubt. All right. Well, yeah, we would be remiss if we didn't touch on the Leaders or Readers Challenge, which is something that we've been doing for a few months now. And, you know, that's just what was birthed out of a conversation that me and X was having one evening as we're driving through the streets of West Philadelphia. And when we're in the car together and we're riding in X's car, you know, that's Automobile University right there. You know, we're driving around listening to audio books from, you know, all different types of authors. People who are, you know, focusing on strengthening of the mind and pretty much self-mastery and how to approach life in ways that will allow you to be successful and prosperous. And, you know, in us doing that, you know, I'm sitting here like, man, you know, we sitting up here and we getting all this knowledge, man. You know, we sitting up here and we're taking all this stuff in and, you know, we can share it. You know, on Facebook, like, we can talk about it when we meet up with people. You know, we can share it when we like when we can. But, like, how can we get our people to read? How can we make reading cool? What can we do in order to bring reading back to the forefront of those activities that are essential, you know, to us? You know, at one point we had
you know, in school we had reading as fundamental programs and, you know, all these things where we would get incentives on books that we would read, like completing reading books and stuff like that. And, you know, that stuff has gone away. So what can we do for, especially for adults, but then for children as well? How can we inspire them to read? So we're thinking like, yo, leaders are readers. Leaders are readers, like, and we're looking like we can do a challenge. The same way that we got people dumping buckets of ice water on their head for nonsense that they don't even know about. You know, we got people setting themselves on fire and shit like that. We got people doing all types, taking the cinnamon challenge and choking themselves half to death. You know, we got people doing all types of nonsense for nothing. So it's like we want to inspire people to do something to enrich their minds and the minds of others who choose to press play on these videos. So we said, look, leaders are readers challenge. Leaders are readers. So anytime you read 1 to 3 pages from a book of your choice, we want you to pull that camera phone out and record yourself doing that. 1 to 3 pages. And then you upload that video to Facebook and any other social media platform that you want to. Upload that video, 1 to 3 pages. That's all we ask. And you tag as many people as you can in this video. Hashtag leaders are readers. Hashtag leaders are readers challenge. We have a page dedicated to this entire effort. The leaders are readers challenge. Like you can go on Facebook and find that, very simple. And you can find hours and hours on top of hours of your people, our people, black people, reading to each other, reading to you. All different aspects of experience and knowledge from their selection of books that they chose to present to us in these videos. And they cover a wide array of topics. And it's just incredible the response that we've gotten from that effort that, you know, just started from something that we were already doing naturally. So, but I do want to commend KLX for inspiring it because, you know, if he was not already, you know, training himself in the way that he does and constantly, you know, listening and looking for ways to get better every day, then this challenge would not have come about. So, you know, I want to pass that over to KLX. If you, you know, first and foremost, like I said, just I thank you and appreciate you for that, brother.
Man, thank you, Ron. Righteous Ron Green. Like I said, man, like you... Like, so for people who don't know, like, so I just met Ron not too long ago. We already talked about that, but I haven't even known him or Peacekeeper a year yet. So this trilogy that we have on the line right now is so brand new and so still fresh and raw. And, like, when I hear Ron speak, like, I get caught up just like you guys get caught up. So he passed the mic to me. We're talking about leaders or readers. So it's like, that's so important because words nourish the mind. So I was like 24, like not 24, 22, I was like 22 or 23, or yeah, like 22 working at this marketing firm. I was a national trainer at this marketing firm, the youngest person owned corporate, the only black person owned corporate. And I was in a performance-based program. So, you know, I was on the up and up in my experience since I've seen so much stuff. It got me a lot of places. And I didn't understand the value that was in books. Like, I went to Morehouse College, but I still didn't read. I went graduated high school and all that type of stuff, but I still didn't read. There's ways that you can get through school without reading, right? We all know that. So it wasn't until I got this check. I was about to run this meeting when I was working corporate. I got this check. It was like this $2,200 check for this week. I was like 22. So I was about to run this crazy sales meeting, 22-year-old, $2,200. You know, we bust your ass, you feel me, in the sales field, go out there and get them. You know what I mean? I was about to give them the raw. And then I seen the owner of the company's check, and he made like $72,000 for that same week. So when someone makes $72,000 in a week and you make $2,200 in that week, your $2,200 doesn't seem as big as it did, right? So then it was like, damn, who, like, I had to start learning from him, right? And I started learning from people like him. And it started studying successful people. And then I realized you do what successful people do, you end up successful. That'll increase your chances of being a success. And if you study failures and avoid doing what they do, then you won't be a failure. So, like, so I read this one book. It changed my whole life, like Think and Grow Rich.
and I read this book called Og Mandino, Greatest Salesman in the World. And then it just, and then I realized, I'm like, wow, like all successful people, like these rich, powerful, successful, power structure people, like they're just the same as us. They just do things in a different way. You know what I mean? And that way is in these books and in these audio books and in these lectures that people pay thousands of dollars to go see. So it's like, did we know that thousands of successful people, millions of successful people, you know, who've created billions and trillions of dollars of wealth from nothing? They've all recorded, you know, videos and audio books and put their stories in books that no one wants to read or watch or listen to. You know, it's like, how do we explain that? Right? How do we explain that? The guy's too busy, I guess, right? He's like, he's too busy to work. He's like, hey, you work where I work, you feel me? Once you get home, you got to do this, and that. You know, you can't stay up and read, right? But if you're broke, I guess that would be a great place to start. But it's like, what I realized is that you could be a sincere hard worker your whole entire life, you end up poor, confused, and lonely. All we have to do is look at generations that came before us, right? Everyone's sincere and working hard and all these types of things. They're all about to die of poor, confused, and lonely, right? Most of them, right? So it's like, we got to be better than a good worker. We got to be a good reader. We got to be a good thinker and a good listener. So when I learned this, right, it's like something that someone should have told me in elementary school. But when I learned that, then I was like, okay, yeah, well, my information diet is at least 30 minutes a day, right? So it's like 30 minutes a day I'm feeding my mind, at least 30 minutes. Some days it was 10 hours, you know what I mean? Some days it was 20 hours, you know what I mean, of just straight knowledge intake all day, you know what I mean? Because every time I'm in my car, like Ron says, it's nothing but audiobooks playing. So it's like 30 minutes a day hear or read something challenging and instructional, you know, every day, right? Words nourish the mind. And so if we continue to put this positive information into our brains, eventually we're going to transform and the people are going to start thinking like we're a guru or some shit like that. You know what I mean? What I really did was just condition your mind to think in the way that rich people think, right? So to get people on that journey, they got to start somewhere. So we started Leaders Are Readers. So we got Leaders Are Readers videos at the airport. We got Leaders Are Readers videos sitting on the plane. We got Leaders Are Readers videos hotboxing a car, smoking and passing blunts around. We're passing the blunts and the book. We got Leaders Are Readers videos, you know, with kids. We got Leaders Are Readers videos, you know, I'm got Leaders Are Readers videos hanging, you know, sitting in a tree. You know what I mean? We got Leaders Are Readers, you know, videos all over to make reading cool with you. Because think about it. How many of us came home, you know, from school when we were young and saw our parents reading, you know, every day, right? So, but my mom always told me to read, right? But I never seen her reading, right? So when children begin to see adults reading, then reading is going to be cool, and then they're going to be smarter.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to say all that to say, like, they put all the valuable things in the world on the highest shelves. You feel me? They're in the higher shelves, so they're out of reach for most people, right? All the valuable things in the world are on the highest shelves. So if we want the things on the higher shelves, we got to stand on the books we read, right? Imagine each book we read, we get to reach a little higher on the shelf, right? And so thanks, Peacekeeper, for, you know, making us talk about the Leaders of Readers challenge. And bringing that at the forefront, so it's something that will last way longer than Rez and I's life. Leaders of Readers challenge is like an everlasting type of thing, because, like, when is it okay to stop reading? You know what I mean? Like, when is it okay to stop reading 30 minutes a day, right? So once people start on that journey of 30 minutes a day of self-development and self-empowerment, I promise they'll never go back. So, you know, Leaders of Readers is just one of the initiatives that we use to, like Ron said, just show things that we already do in our life that have gives us the results. Hopefully I said that well.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was up. That was great.
That was tough. For real. And I did my challenge, so, JB,
yep.
You need to do yours.
Yeah, JB, and what's up?
I got my book sitting here, and I was like, I need to get past the first couple of pages, so I'll be like, my passages from They Were Here Before Columbus, page 2.
So let me get into the nooks of this book real quick, the newest book that I've started, and I definitely will be joining that as well. And I think everybody should do it, adults to children. I mean, there's books that are centered to our kids about African American history and culture. You may not find it in Barnes and Noble, but you can find it, and it would be great if your kids are reading it, your mom and your grandma, everybody. It's an awesome thing.
Cool.
You know, so
are there any more callers? Any more callers?
Yeah, we got a lot of callers. We're gonna try and bust them down real quick. We got about 19 more minutes in the show, so when I come to your number, please be. If you just want to shout us out, if you got a quick question, we just need you to be brief so we can get all of the callers. Okay. So let me take somebody from my city real quick. 443-651. What's up, Africa? Are you there?
What's up, Africa? What's up, Africa?
What's up, Africa?
Black power.
These guys, black power, black debate. It's KC with six balls.
Is that KC? Hey.
KC!
What's up, bro?
These guys. I know I recognize your voice. And I was just about to text y'all because you all actually, we went to Dr. Umar conference together. And, you know, you guys spoke about the venue in Virginia. Was it Virginia?
He
reached out to me today, and he's asking for the venue spot. So he wants to actually collab with you guys again.
I
the number that I must have a wrong number for Umar, because the number that he gave me when we was talking, that's the number that I texted with the pictures. So, but yeah,
I got to get my phone, so send it to you.
All right,
so
cool.
I keep it.
Yes, we're gonna do it. I want to keep Black Green.
Yes, sir.
That's amazing. All the listeners on the line listening to plans being made as we speak. So if you want to know what these brothers are doing, and you hear it, like, they're confirming plans on the live radio show, y'all. Like, it's getting popping. So that's amazing. That's dope. Like, I'm not trying to say that in a bad way at all, but, like, that's dope.
Yeah, no
like,
doubt.
Things are
no
working.
Doubt.
And, KC, you know we're going to stop here for an interview, too. So get right.
Oh, really? Oh, that'd be nice. Let me do it.
Thanks for calling in, King.
Always, James, always. Y'all stay black.
Stay black.
Black.
Brothers deserve the essence, man.
Thanks
black
for all
power.
The efforts and all the work you do, man. Every time we come to Baltimore, man, KC always shows love, man. He's my Baltimore, my Baltimore connection, man. Him and Maurice Ashley is who I look to.
Maurice is
to determine, you know, my move out there. So, black power.
PC, KC. Okay, let me see. We got 708-929.
That's Chicago.
708-929.
Yo, what's up, African?
Chi-Town.
Yo, Chi-Town, what up?
It's like I know every area code, yo. It's crazy.
Where they at, though?
Yeah. Chi-Town. All right, next
Hi, can you hear me?
Okay,
we can hear you.
Oh, wait.
Was that Bree?
Oh, wait, let me bring her back.
My first time listening.
Oh, who's calling?
Oh,
thank you for listening.
I'm sorry, what was that?
I said, who's calling?
My name is Brandy. I live in Delaware, but I'm from Chicago. I'm out here serving the military.
Oh, all right, that's what's up. Peace to you.
Hey, Brandy.
Peace to you. How you doing, Brandy?
I'm good. How are you?
Feeling great, man. We feeling great. We fully blacktivated right now, man. Like, spirits is high, vibrations is even higher. Everything is lovely, man. It's a beautiful time to be black. What's up with you, though?
Well, I heard about you guys. I work with, I'm not sure if you know her by name, but her name is Tamia.
Tamia?
Oh, yeah.
Of course we know her.
Yeah, the warrior queen. I know her.
Yeah, she, I'm supposed to be coming out there to Philly with her pretty soon. I just haven't had a chance to yet, but me and her have gotten really close since I got here. So
that's
she told me about you guys.
Dang, that's love. So, we're looking forward to connecting with you. You know, if you want to come up for RBG Fridays or, you know, any one of the events we have going on, that'll be an awesome opportunity to connect. Yeah, that's going to be dope.
Yeah, well, shoot. I mean,
wow.
we gonna be out there.
What was that?
I said I can't wait to meet you, Brandy.
Can't wait to meet you guys either. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah, we're
sweet.
We
yeah,
can
so
tell.
You can connect. For the people that's listening, Ron just mentioned RBG Friday show in Philly on Broad Street, West Broad. In
oh,
Vermont.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Reg, if you want to plug them with that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. All right, so RBG Fridays. RBG, obviously, you know, in conjunction with the red, black, and green Pan-African Black Liberation, New African flag, whatever you want to call it, the Garvey flag, the UNIA ACL official government flag, you know, RBG, those are the colors that we bang, the colors that we represent, the colors that we fly. And also, we're also right at Broad and Girard. Right at Broad and Girard is where we fly those colors, and we're doing RBG Fridays where we're out there in the hood, we're in the neighborhood, connecting with the people in North Philly. You know, there's a lot of affected areas, but you know, that's the one that is like a major hub. You know, we're out there every single Friday, rain, sleet, hail, rapture, any type of you know, Armageddon experience. We're out there regardless. All right. So you know, we're out there connecting with the people, providing meaningful and useful information, as well as just good, solid, and, you know, positive interaction, you know, because a lot of people, we're out there from 5 to 8. We're out there from 5 to 8 every Friday. And, you know, during those times, people are getting off of work, and we're right by the subway outlet and the trolley stop and everything. So, you know, we're constantly running into people as they're getting off of work and they're, you know, on their way home. So it's just a great way to be able to give them some positivity on their way and put them in line with some ways that they can, you know, be effective or be positive in their situation in the community. We work with a number of different community-based organizations, and they're all pointed in the same direction, which is towards, you know, black liberation, the liberation of the minds and bodies of our people. And, yeah, we've been out there consistently since the summertime, and that's pretty much why we've been able to garner such a following and support system, is because consistency is what we thrive on. Consistency is key. So every Friday, 5 to 8, we'll be out there. And, you know, we've been getting a great response from the people, to so much so that we've been getting requests to come to different cities to help establish a similar undertaking, you know, for them. So there's a lot of areas that could use a, you know, a the blacktivism efforts that we bring to the table. And, you know, once we have a solid system that we can duplicate, we're going to roll that out. So, yeah, I thank you for, you know, bringing that into play, Brandy. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay, peace.
Yeah, so peace.
So that's we got about 10 minutes left. So before we wrap, I just want to ask you, where do you see the future of What's Up Africa? And you mentioned having a solid system in place, but where do you see you taking the movement that you're this journey that you're embarking on?
Okay, well, I'm a, our ultimate goal, you know, my goal from a business standpoint is I want to build a strong foundation that my family and the families of the people that are attached to me can thrive on for generations. What's Up African, you know, the business aspect, and that is I'm very hands-on with that. And, you know, that's what allows me to be able to do the things that I do and to be as active as I am. So just going forward, solidifying that, you know, on a worldwide basis, this, like, the movement that we've created, you know, just with the, you know, the apparel, has allowed us to move into different areas. So with that being said, international sales are taking place almost on a daily basis. And those are the connections that we seek to exploit at a later date, is you know, just connecting with those people who saw something in what we're doing, and setting up a support systems on a worldwide basis where we can communicate the needs of our people on a more solid level, and being that connected to the solutions instead of always you know, focusing on the problems. We choose to focus on solutions. We'll be a solution based organization, and our community Blacktivism efforts will you know, be solidified with every effort that we make. And we're just going to be everything's going up. That's where we're headed, is as a corporation, and also as a community outreach program. We will be moving into entertainment and controlling those venues, art and music, those things, as well as education. All of those things will be covered in the things that we have in planning. And we're going to start rolling them out for 2016.
Yeah, exactly.
2016 is going to be a big year.
And just to veggie back off what Red said, 100% behind everything that he said. But then also, when it comes to solutions and us being solution providers, a lot of the specific strategies, tactics, and processes that we'll be implementing to bring about the social, economic, political, spiritual, genuine, material improvement in the Black collect will be because of the efforts that we do within Born Royalty. I don't know. Some people seen the hashtag, and some people who've been following me for years are familiar with Born Royalty Success and Achievement Club. But it's a small group of the entrepreneurs who are the ones who are actually putting in the action and implementing a lot of different things. We're a result over rhetoric, you know, is our philosophy. And so we could sit here or anybody's platform and give step-by-step game action plans like thousands of other people who came before us have done. Or, you know, we could just stay amongst our selective power group of, you know, legends, icons, and gurus, who are all focused on, you know, creating our own personal legacy within the Black liberation movement, as well as, like, adding to the Black collective. So if you're really interested in getting down with the get down and, you know, making some world history besides, you know, some of the surface-level things that we do, then reach out and inquire about Born Royalty Success and Achievement Club, and then you'll learn how to apply to our organization. You go through the application process and be screened to see if you're if one's even qualified to be, you know, in that club. So with that,
sure.
seven years of sweat equity campaign. So we laid out it's a 23-step platform that's going to do all the things that I just said and change the Black people's situation and we'll begin to see the creation of that utopian society. That Black utopian society, you know, within that 7 years. And if we were to mass broadcast, you know, our strategy, then that will leave the people who would not like to see our dreams fulfilled. It'll give them whatever all the ammo that they needed to try and to stop what we're doing. So Born Royalty, Project 1 Million, 7 years of sweat is you know, what we see coming, you know, in the future.
Yeah, talk about your music a little bit, too.
Oh, okay, yeah. So also, Team Leon X, KLX.
You got five minutes left, right?
Yeah.
You got five minutes. You know you got to give him that heat.
Oh, you said give him some heat?
What you mean?
Yeah.
I'm about to say.
Come on, bro. Tell them the project and then go in, man. Let's go. They need that. They need that fire. Give it something.
Glasses.
All right, perfect. So, yeah, my project, Freedom of Speech. So my last project was it came out July 11th, 2013. It was called The Wake Up Call.
of, like, when I was first coming into consciousness, but I was still, like, on that Jesus juice, because, again, I came into consciousness through a financial aspect and, like, economic inequality and shit like that versus, like, any type of social injustices and different things like that. So, yeah, freedom of speech, it's going to, for me, it's gonna do for me what the warm-up did for J. Cole and what So Far Gone did for Drake. Ron asked me to give y'all some power real quick. So hold on, because last time we was on the radio, someone was like, "Damn, I wish you had the beat. I wish you had the beat with that flow." Right. So I'm gonna just give y'all this heat real quick. This joint called "Follow Your Dreams, Don't Follow Me." It's just some slight work. I'm not even gonna give y'all the whole thing. I'm just gonna give y'all a little feel of, you know, some KLX. Hey, can y'all hear this beat?
Yeah, you got it. You got it.
I'll put the black woman first and the black child first, because I'm a black man and I know my family's worth. I already broke the curse, self-love built the hurt. I did a lot of dirt, and until I'm in the dirt, I'm going to put in work. Productivity, eye on the prize. My why gives me energy. Try to limit me, but I know my divinity. Infiltrate the industry to bring these crackers misery. Self-mastery, black billionaire tendency. Play the good habit, self-doubt is the enemy. My only enemy is in the inner me. Self-limited beliefs and some thoughts I think. Breaking invisible chains, I'm almost free to rewrite history. Quotable is every word I speak. Notable is every goal I reach. Don't follow me. Follow your dreams. Don't follow me. Follow your dreams. Don't follow me. Follow your dreams. Don't follow me. Follow your dreams.
Yeah.
Born royalty, the new elite. What's up, African unity in your street? RBG, black fist in the air. Big hair, don't care. I'm a melanin heir. Hella black, hella proud. Get hella stares. Heir to the throne. Gold in my chair. Marble floors, crystal stairs. Tell Langston Hughes that my life is fair. Human liberation is my highest care. Dreaming wide awake, I am so aware. My vision clear as Belvedere. Knowledge of self got me most prepared. I would dare to speak the truth and be the truth friend and not of the fool. I feel like Jordan in 92. They can't do like I do, so they critique my move. I don't need checks from fake Jews. I make my own rules and decide what's cool. Dropped out of Morehouse for a power move. Nah, I'm the voice of the black youth. KLX, don't follow me. Follow your dreams. Don't follow me. Follow your dreams. Hey, y'all want the third verse or no?
Nah. We gotta close out. Yo, go ahead, y'all. Go ahead. I want this show to cut off until we.
Some slight work.
Well,
for
we
y'all.
They gotta get the project, man. They gotta get the project,
right,
bro.
Yeah. You're gonna be able to get Freedom of Speech on iTunes, Spotify. It's gonna be Pandora, all that. You can order the project. My website kingleonx.com about to relaunch as well. So, but right now, if you wanted to hear some of my music, you can just type in music.kingleonx.com, and that's music.kingleonx.com. You'll catch a lot of, you know, catch some of my old flows and things like that, some of the different things that I've been doing, you know, before we revamped that website. And also, if you want to connect with us on Facebook, type in Red the Ruler, Red the D-A, Ruler, the R-U-L-E-R, and like that, like his page, the public figure page for Red the Ruler, and then my public figure page as well on Facebook, King Leon X. So type those in so you guys can stay connected with what we got going on. And, again, I appreciate Young Black and Empowered, you know, radio for allowing us to, you know, express.
We appreciate y'all too, fam. Thank you. We got about 30 seconds left. Thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you so much for everybody listening. Y'all been rocking out with us for the last 3 shows. We definitely appreciate you. And I ask that the Creator covers you all with safety and blessings, and that wherever you go, that you carry knowledge, love, and power. Ashe.
Ashe.
Black power.
Ashe.
Black power.
Black power.
Stay black.
What's up, African?